Welcome to our study of the Gospel of John here on the Radio Bible Course. Today we continue the study of the word love. Jesus said on the night before he was crucified, when he gathered with his disciples in the upper room, "A new commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." The meaning of love in the New Commandment becomes far more significant as we learn that his death was an act of love for the unlovable. We were enemies. Paul wrote that. He said God sent his Son in spite of us to save us, and he did it at a terrible cost. This is love beyond measure. The new commandment calls for love by us that costs something, perhaps even death. There are missionaries who love God so much, and they love Christ so much, and they love the lost so much that they are willing to go, leaving family and friends and comfort, and depart for a strange place where they might be in danger. I know some of them. From time to time we read, as we did recently, of a missionary being killed in a hostile land, not only because there are revolutions all over the world, but because there are other religions which cause their people to think that if they kill a Christian, then they are doing God service. Jesus warned his disciples about that very thing in John chapter 16. Well, this is sacrificial love. The Greek word for this kind of love is agape. It means giving love, or sacrificial love, the kind that will cost you something. If an action doesn't cost you money, time, inconvenience, or effort, it probably is not agape love. Giving something that you no longer want for yourself is not this kind of love. But giving something that you treasure is this kind of love. Jesus taught those men with him at that Last Supper to love according to the divine standard, which far exceeded the love for which Moses wrote. Heaven's standard is set forth in John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son." Notice, he loved and he gave. If you don't give, then you are probably not loving. You have to give something of yourself. And so the word agape love has to do with costing you something, even a sacrifice. Doing something for somebody else at your expense. If it doesn't cost, it probably is not this kind of biblical love. We read in 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 9, "By this the love of God was made manifest in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Most of your teaching about love in the Bible will come from either Jesus or the Apostle John. John got the message from Jesus, of course. And if you want a good dose of love teaching, then you need to go to the first epistle of John, for he talks about it both negatively and positively. He tells us how to love and how not to love. In a way, it may trouble you as you read that, but that is what the Bible is supposed to do. We want God's wisdom and knowledge to correct us as well as to exhort us. Well, 1 John will do that. But by the way, the word propitiation in that verse, "he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins," means he paid the price. Propitiation means a satisfactory sacrifice. And that's what the law called for. It demanded that. Christ came, offered himself, gave the law what it asked for, and he paid it in full. It cost him, and it cost the Father. There are other words in the Bible for love, and one of those is phileo. It means the friendly kind of love, or to be fond of someone, and from it, there are derivative words. You probably have experienced the phileo kind of love. Perhaps before a Sunday school class or a Bible class, you have some refreshments. People are there, happy to see one another. They're friendly. They talk to one another and rejoice that they can be together again. That's phileo love. It's the hospitable type. It's a general word for love. It doesn't call for any kind of sacrifice. Just that warm friendliness that you show to one another. And it's good that we have that kind of love. I would hate to be in a meeting where everyone was frowning at one another and where there is a cold formality and perhaps even rejection. Well, I'm glad that people do show love, even though it's phileo love. And now let me give you some of those derivative words. We have philos, which is the word for friend. We have philema, which is the word for kiss. We have the word philosophia. The word philosophy comes from that, and that means the love of knowledge. And then there's the proper name for a man who loves horses, philippos. And then a word with which we are all familiar, philanthropia, which is love for mankind. And you've all heard the word philanthropy, all coming from this Greek word phileo, the verb. It's a general word for friendly love. The Greeks also had a word for love between parents and children, or they often used this same word for love for pets. And I want to suggest that if you don't have a name for a pet which you love, you might call him by this Greek word, stergo. That's the word between parents, children, and pets. It's a different kind of love, and there is no use of this in the New Testament, except in compound words, and there are only a few of those. And one of those, incidentally, uses two kinds of word for love, including stergo. That's Romans chapter 12, verse 10, from the New King James Version. It says, be kindly affectionate. That's the word that includes stergo. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. And there is the word Philadelphia. That's the brotherly love. And that's actually the word in the Greek, which means love for brothers. It's the phileo kind of love. So both of those words are used in that single text. Finally, there is the word in Greek for physical love. The love between a man and a woman, which is never found in the New Testament, but you are familiar with this word because it appears sometime in the newspaper and magazines. It's eros, and from it comes these words, erotic or erotica. Erotica refers to books and pictures and other things that are occupied with sexual love. The teachings of Jesus Christ and the apostles urge the kind of love that calls for believers to do something for others. That's agape love. When believers have this kind of love, one for another, they are said to have fulfilled the law. Not in the sense of obtaining perfection, but in the sense of reflecting the character and the holiness of both the Father and the Son. The basic idea behind holiness is difference. God and Christ were different. They were holy in that sense. And if we are going to be like them, then we will be different from everything that the world has. We will reflect that same kind of holiness. This kind of love, that is agape love, will make you different. All of this is expressed in Romans chapter 13, beginning with verse 9. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this sentence: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Notice the commandments listed here. Adultery, killing, stealing, coveting. All those hurt a neighbor. If you love a neighbor instead of doing those things, you will fulfill all those things because you don't do them and you don't hurt your neighbor. So, love does no wrong and no ill to a neighbor, and therefore it fulfills the law. Now, this is an amazing conclusion. Jesus was not sent to duplicate what Moses did. Moses was a lawgiver. Jesus was not. But not everyone understands that. Some years ago, when I was religion editor, the Morning Advocate, I saw a story coming from the Lutheran News Bureau, which gave the results of a survey they had made of their members. They had asked what people thought about Jesus, and the answers shocked them. The Lutheran officials said that most of their people thought of Jesus as another lawgiver. Think of it, friends. They had missed the whole message of love. Moses, the Bible tells us in John 1:17, brought the law, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And whenever you have grace, you have love, which motivates grace. So we've learned a lot about Jesus Christ here in this teaching about love, that if we love, we are successful as Christians in God's sight. Not in the sight of people, however. And if you don't have love, you are a total failure in God's sight, no matter what else you do. God has given us a discourse on this kind of love so that we can identify it in both ourselves and in others. And he does that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning with verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. We can take that passage and count the number of times Paul uses the word not. Paul is telling us what love is and what love is not. It is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. It is not insisting on its own way. It's not irritable. It does not rejoice at wrong. Well, that list of actions is wonderful. It's a great exhortation because by it we can measure on whether we are loving the agape way, God's way of love. Well, I myself often wonder, am I, as a Bible teacher, fulfilling what it asks? Well, I must admit, none of us live perfectly. But I love the exhortation, and I love the reminder that God's Word gives us that we ought to live up to agape love. We invite our listeners to write for a free copy of our Grace Booklet. This will help you to understand that Christ died that you might be free, free of your sins, but free also of the law of Moses. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.